You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Mike Minka hasn't had the turnovers this year, but is he doing things maybe to help set up other people for what they're doing?
Man, he's doing a great job, to be quite honest with you. But again, I think the turnovers will come. I think oftentimes when you play on the back end, you're defined by takeaways. Just like when you play up front, you're defined by sacks, but it's not always the storyteller. But those of us that are in this business, we realize to a degree that you're measured by it. And so, you know, he'll keep working, but I'm not displeased by anything that he's doing, certainly. And we're asking him to do a lot of things, but we always ask him to do a lot of things. I'm really excited about Cam Sutton being back, because Cam's presence is really helpful in terms of being able to move him around even more, because Cam is so versatile.
All right, that's the opposite of foreshadowing. Mike Tomlin giving you lip service on Minkah Fitzpatrick and what a great job he was doing. And a few months later, he's gone back to Miami. The huge, massive trade, the Steelers and Dolphins doing something you almost never see in the NFL, and that's trading one former All-Pro for another, and to boot, to sweeten the pot, the Steelers got Jonnu Smith, Arthur Smith's favorite player of all time, back in the deal as well. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Now the sun is beating down on us here at the Pompeii Golf Classic. Temperatures in the 80s looking good, very humid for the Pirates, starting a three-game set with the Cardinals tonight, and that is your fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Malzi has joined me.
Hello. Nice to see you back.
Thank you. I'm still
lighter in the wallet after the Skeens thing. I don't mean to dissuade you from the matter at hand, which I know is a big one.
For a good cause.
For a great cause, and I know you're a man of your word. I just cannot believe you managed to somehow maloik yourself here.
The DMs have gone out, and I've already heard word from those people, so they will be getting
good
jerseys.
Anyway, yeah.
I'm still telling people that are here at Pompeii's that this trade happened, because they've been out on the course, and some of them were in disbelief and thought that it was a fake account from Schefter that sent the news.
That was Colony's very first reaction. So we started, it was me, Jim Colony, Joe Starkey, and then Sean McCall, my buddy who's also the pro at Hickory Heights. Great
congratulations
dude
on all his success.
He was awesome to come out here and play with and basically carry us three bums around the course. Course looked incredible too, which was awesome. And so we played the 12th hole as our first hole. We finished the hole. We get up to the 13th tee, and I just deadpan because I had my phone out and I was going to kind of videotape some swings for going low. And I said, Joe, the Steelers just traded Minka for Jalen Ramsey. And we hadn't seen the Jonnu Smith like part come out yet. It was like the Shane Baz thing for a second. You didn't know who the other player was. Joe and Jim's first reaction, and Jim's out of the game, basically, was like, is that a real account? Did you see it? Like, they were assuming it was from Sports Talk Barry. And I said, no, this is Adam Schefter. This is happening. And there was that shock. You just said guys weren't on their phones today, so they didn't know. Can I just tell you, I'm sure you've had plenty of 3 hours to talk about it today. My first thought was just I had the spidey sense, but not that strong of one, that he and Mike did not get along that well, that communication stuff might come back to player and coach maybe being at odds, because we know Minka is such an unbelievably strong personality, and so is Mike. That was my first thought, was those two had to have been at odds. Beyond anything that was happening on the field that wasn't going right, if it was communication-oriented, you know that would make Mike crazy.
Yeah.
And I just got my first reaction before who won this deal, all that. Those two had to have been majorly at odds for this to take place.
The clip from Tomlin that we heard there that was dated, I think, from November or December makes no sense. That Tomlin said we're using them in a bunch of different ways all over the place. No, that was the problem. He was lining up 30 yards behind the line of scrimmage and being Omar Moreno. He was just being a center fielder.
He was off screen on like the traditional NFL view you get. He wasn't even close to the screen.
I agree with you 100%. I think that he was disenchanted with the way he was being used here, and he's no shrinking violet in these situations. That's how he got traded out of Miami after 1 year.
Correct.
Brian Flores is a strong-willed person. They're both very stubborn about, you know, what's best for the team.
Minka's a high football IQ guy.
Right.
Every coach that's had him says it.
Absolutely.
So he would have very strong.
No doubt.
He is not a cog who you say, Minka, play here. He goes, got it, coach. No worries.
And
he's evaluating your method of playing.
And I think there was a tacit admission by them in the way that they used him that they didn't think he was the same player that he used to be.
If you put him in a position where you expect him to make plays and he doesn't have the wheels to make the plays anymore, then what you're going to have happen a lot is him getting burnt.
If they still thought he was, all right, he's not really, you know, he's not analogous to Polamalu because he's not that kind of guy that just cracks down and jumps over the line of scrimmage and stuff. So let's say, like, in terms of all-time great safeties, he's more like Ed Reed.
Stylistically,
yeah,
sure.
If you thought he was that kind of player still, even though corner's more valuable than safety, you don't trade a younger player for an older player, even with you getting an extra guy back.
Correct.
The other thing I teased before you came on was, I don't know if you've heard this too, apparently, late in the season, I wasn't told exactly which game or which week it was, but they had a practice during their six-game losing streak at the end of the year, and he got into a huge spat with, let me call this person, a veteran member of the defense in practice.
Well, I don't think I need to guess who that is.
That was in front of everybody. And
yeah.
People came away from that situation having less favorable opinion of Minka Fitzpatrick than the other guy who was involved.
So I'm not going to suggest I will suggest who I think it is by what I'll bring up. I seem to recall Cam Hayward being vocal about a lot of different stuff that was ailing the defense. And Cam is the conscience of the team and at least the conscience of the defense. I don't know, because you would have better sourcing on this, if that was who got into the argument. You know, there's Watt, there's a couple other guys that could be fitting the bill of what you're describing. But once a guy like Minka, who's also not producing and is not a Steeler, and we know that they care about, did we draft you? Did we bring you into the NFL? Forget about whether we loved you and therefore traded for you as a result. If you're the guy on the other end of that, Minka Fitzpatrick, and the people observing it come away with a lesser opinion of you, days might be numbered. And you know what this also does? It closes the book on that trade, and that trade was a failure. Period. Because they could have had it potentially, if that team that year has that pick and they're a couple games worse, because that first year he did make some unbelievable game-changing, game-winning plays. Who knows where their quarterback situation is at? That's a 30,000-feet view of this,
no
but that's
one's
also
gonna
something.
No one's going to want to hear you say that or agree with you on it, but honestly, if you're going to put it in success or failure, you can't put it in the success category. He was good. They never won a playoff game.
Yep.
Their offense didn't come through in big games. He went 25 games without an interception, and you traded him away at the end for another corner before you won anything significant. Of course that's not a winning
and you traded
trade
him,
for a first-round pick.
You traded
it's
him
not.
For a, you traded him for a corner who's a big name and who at his best was maybe the best in the NFL, but he's not at his best anymore.
Yeah, I still think he's good, Chris.
He's good, but at his best he was a number one, and he is not a number one anymore in the NFL. That's all. Like, you didn't trade him for this insane...
No.
It's not a player-for-player where both teams are just getting a great player and it's a need-based thing.
I mean, it's honestly more the same from the Steelers this offseason in that they're trading for guys who were, at one point, the best at what they did, but they're past their prime. Ramsey, at one point, was the best corner in the NFL.
Yep.
He's the one guy I've watched shut down Antonio Brown, and you get him 3 or 4 years removed from winning a Super Bowl and being an All-Pro. You bring in Aaron Rodgers, 4 years removed from winning an MVP when he's 41 years old. You bring in Darius Slay when he's 34 years old. That's what the whole theme of this offseason is. We're going after these big-name guys. Let's hope they've got something left in the tank. So in that regard, like, I guess from an identity perspective, Yeah, at least they're consistent.
How often does that work in the NFL?
I just don't think old teams really win. I mean, that's
Washington did that when Dan Snyder took over. It was him collecting baseball cards. Bruce Smith,
Deion
Sanders, and
the original Over the Hill gang in the 70s did.
Okay, but, I mean, Dan Snyder, it was, I'm going to collect baseball cards. Bring me Bruce Smith.
I mean,
Deion Sanders.
Tampa did that, but the baseball card they collected was Tom Brady.
Yes, that's the Hannes Wagner from 19-0-whatever.
Right.
At Baseball Card Castle, if they had it, they'd have it under lock and key. The Steelers aren't collecting those guys. I think they're collecting Aaron Rodgers, a guy who is going to be more bought into the process than Russell Wilson was for a variety of reasons. I talked about this while you were on vacation last week, and I'm not going to get into that here. And I think it could be decent, could be better than last year was. But they don't have the team that's brought in, like, all these aging veterans who still got it, and they're going to go and beat the Bills on paper or the Chiefs on paper or something like that. It feels more like they are quietly trying to do the rebuild or the we have a bunch of shiny names, but we might be a 6 or 7 win team if things go very badly.
Really? I don't look at it that way. I don't think they feel that way at all.
They don't feel that way, but that's how I like have analyzed and evaluated. If things go very sideways, this could be the old blessing in disguise like the 03 season was because it delivered Roethlisberger to them. To be very clear, you're right. They're not building with that intention. I'm observing it with that as at least a possibility here.
One inconsistency that people have pointed out, and I think it's a fair one today, is if you're going to make all these moves with 2025 in mind, why didn't you just keep Pickens? And I think Pickens is obviously highly combustible, and I don't think he would have gotten around along with Aaron Rodgers. But if it's all about 2025, why not just keep Pickens and George Pickens and say, hey, Mike, you're paid $20 million a year. The whole point of you being considered a great coach is that you manage personalities. Figure it out with these guys. I think that's a fair point.
I think it's a fair point, but I think the key of that is they would like the idea that they would go to him and say, hey, Mike, you're paid a lot of money. Figure it out. I think he went to them and said, get him out of here. I don't want him.
Of course he did.
And so when he's the guy who's still making that shot call to Omar Khan, you're not going to be able to do what people are suggesting you should have done.
I understand that, but the timing of that deal was more about 2026 than 2025, and just about everything else they've done this offseason has been about 2025. The lone exception is the way free agency panned out, and that's because their big move was a trade and not a signing, so that's how they got the compensation picks that should help them in next year's draft. I mean, they're trying to have it both ways.
And how often does that work
in sports? If it works, phenomenal. It'd be one of the great managing
jobs.
How
often does it work? How often does it work in sports?
For the most part, never. I mean, there's a reason why the Rams chanted F these picks, because they did go all the way in. They traded for Jalen Ramsey. They traded for Von Miller. They traded for Matthew.
We used to rip Neil Huntington with the Pirates when he would talk about, I'm trying to live in two worlds, one foot in contending, one foot in the future.
It's a weird day, though, because I do think in a vacuum it's a good trade. I think they got two good players for one player that's still good, but they didn't.
He was disgruntled,
they didn't,
too.
And disgruntled, they didn't use him, right? But I also think at the same time, they didn't get so much better that now my expectations for their season change. I don't think they're going to win a playoff game even with these moves.
My peak for them was 11-6. My realistic was 9-8, maybe 10-7. My bad case scenario was 8-9, and that's pretty much the same. Is Aaron Rodgers, by the way, who does, I will say, concede this, I do think he's going to be bought in as much as a guy like him can be bought in at this point, is he suddenly going to like throwing to the tight end position? Never really had a guy that he targeted a ton for that in Green Bay. It was always receivers that were the primary ball catchers. His best three pass catchers right now in order are, and I'm going to say Jonnu is actually behind Freiermuth because that was a high-volume season for Jonnu, are Metcalf, Freiermuth, and Jonnu Smith. Two of those three guys are tight ends.
Yeah. My fear about them loading up on tight ends, obviously, like, Smith wants to build his offenses that way because that's what he's always done.
Mm-hmm.
But you get tight ends involved in the offense, I think, more often when your offensive line isn't good because you're trying to get the ball out fast. And that's why Smith had such good numbers in Miami. Their line sucked.
Well, yeah, and other guys got hurt, too.
Right.
He was the primary option because Hill had a busted wheel, Waddle was dinged at times in games. Yeah, it wasn't like this classic explosive Miami offense targeting Jonnu Smith 110 times.
No. He made the most of
the opportunities that they gave him. I mean, he had a high catch. All that stuff was good. Again, just is a square peg round hole situation a little bit with what we know Rodgers likes to do. I'm with you that it's a very curious offseason. And in a vacuum, if Minka doesn't want to be here, which he clearly didn't, and you do get two for one, and you would say that both players are good players still. Ramsey's not all-time great anymore, but he's still good to very good, and Jonnu Smith can be good. Yeah, in a vacuum, that's probably a good deal. It's not a great deal, and none of it foretells like a team that really has its arrow pointed in a very steady direction. It still feels more like a team in transition than it does anything else.
By the way, Ramsey is not like a one-year, let's go for it this year, too. Like, now you're committed to him. His financial commitments overall are bigger than Minka. And I get it. I think
the spot rack crowd like the deal from Miami's perspective more as a result of that.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, I'd rather have an upper echelon to great corner than I would a safety, even if Minka wasn't pigeonholed into playing deep, because I just think the corner position is more important in today's NFL.
Well, the hope would be if Ramsey falls off, say, if this year he's good but he's not great, maybe you can move him to safety eventually by the very end of the deal. I mean, if you're going to think way ahead. But again, that's not me thinking, like, stuff that matters today. What matters today to me is still, I go back to, the player that you brought in that was supposed to be damn near an extension of the head coach on the field when the defense was out there clearly was at odds with numerous people on that side of the ball. I'm sorry, man, I can't shake that part of this. So much of what is supposed to make this team special, what you and I chafe at, and a lot of people in this town chafe at, is this national perspective that, man, the Steelers are just built differently than everybody else. It's different because of Mike Tomlin and the relationship he has with these guys. On one level or another, this trade is an acknowledgement that even with the guy that was supposed to be the ultimate blood and guts Tomlin guy, that just was not the case.
They've chased two guys out of town in trades because of, I think, chemistry issues.
And attitude
for different
issues.
Reasons, yeah. I mean,
Minka kept it very much like quiet, but
that's a football. His is a philosophical difference, and Pickens is just a give a bleep.
Well, Pickens difference. Is we tried to go after this guy who had red flags, and we didn't turn the red flags green in the end.
412-928-9370. So, what would you grade the trade then?
It feels like a C+, C+, B- range, because I think it's better. I think they're a slightly better team as a result.
Dom said A+, and now has them in the AFC Championship game.
I mean, that's why Dom is destined for big things, because he is just not afraid to put asinine opinions out there and
right.
just plant
and
his
said
flag.
Better than the Bills and better than the Ravens.
I've been doing this since Dom was in diapers, and that's probably not an exaggeration, because I think Dom's like 20 or 21. So I'm going to say it's like C+, B-, but I don't like what the trade represents or suggests about the state of the franchise.
I know, but they did get better players, Chris. That's the thing. That's why I can't go as low as a C-.
Okay.
They got two for one.
I said C+. Oh, I mean, okay. Above that.
C+.
Yeah,
C+,
B-. Yeah, I mean, I think that's – I cannot go higher than that.
I went B.
Okay.
So I did go higher than that.
Okay, I mean, I just – again, they're supposed to be one thing as an organization, and they're supposed to have a certain ethos. And Minka was supposed to embody a lot of that ethos. He's Mike's guy. They love him. Hard Knocks, it was just Minka and Tomlin. Look at them crunching film together.
I know, but I also think Ramsey's one of his guys, because he's just such an alpha dude who, for years, shut down great players. And Mike saw that up close, especially during those Jacksonville rivalry
Mike should
days.
Know better than anybody. He's an old soul now in NFL terms that, like, it's not for long for pretty much everybody, especially corners. Especially corners.
I know, but they think because of the way he's played his entire career that he's not just an outside corner. It's not Darrell Revis who ran out of gas and it's like, well, now what do we do with the guy? They think they can move him around. Fittipaldo said with me that he thinks he's going to start at slot corner. He's going to play inside, which he did a lot with the Rams and the Jaguars.
If they're going to commit to using him all over the field and he's willing to do that, fine. I mean, that's better, because clearly they couldn't settle on a way to use Minka that was satisfactory to everybody. It feels weird, man. I guess, Pony, to put a weird point on this, because I'm parachuting in from the golf course and I don't know what the tone of the show has been with callers or anything else.
No, it's been mostly positive with callers.
But it feels...
We had one guy say it was a horrible trade and then said that he would call Joey Porter Jr. soft to his face, which I thought was funny because his dad was right behind me when he said
it. Yeah, I don't think that he would do that. My point is, unless that guy's like an ultimate cage fighter or something, it feels really weird. I get why callers would say two for one and both of the two you get are objectively good football players, and Minka clearly was not as good of a guy as he was when he came here in 2019. But everything surrounding the trade, it feels really weird for me to sit here and go, good job, Steelers. This is a positive day in Steelers history, because I just don't feel like it's that.
Anthony in Pittsburgh is with us. Hello, Anthony. No, he's not here with us. So apparently Mulchey's point was so good, he said, I don't need to weigh in on this. How about the T.J. Watt end of this? Did you see that tweet from Schefter?
I didn't see a Schefter. I saw, like, one of the usual aggregators suggest that teams are calling about T.J. Watt because of his unhappiness.
Here's the Schefter tweet from, like, an hour after the trade was consummated. In recent weeks, multiple teams have been discussing whether they can trade for T.J. Watt, who skipped minicamp. Pittsburgh hasn't shown any willingness to deal Watt so far, but he's unhappy with his situation. And sources believe outside interest is likely to increase given today's trade.
So, which makes today's trade, by the way, feel like a dump in people's mind. Do you know what I mean? It makes outside people think that they're kind of dumping a player.
That is a weird reaction that the rest of the teams in the NFL would think,
huh,
this makes T.J. Watt more available.
They're casting out guys that are making a lot of money on that defensive side.
But they brought back a guy who's making a lot of money.
I know. But I just can't – again, I cannot ignore that part of it. You know where I've stood on this. T.J. Watt's a great stealer. T.J. Watt individually incredibly brilliant. But you are not close to winning or contending. I would absolutely trade if the right offer is made.
I know, and so would I, but they obviously
– they don't feel that
way.
They
think they're close. That's why they're making these deals for guys in their 30s to try to win right now.
Here's the question, though. Is the philosophical difference or anger with T.J., is it just contractual, or is part of this – what we've heard them say, well...
He said unhappy about his contract situation.
Okay, then if it's not about his role, like the fact that they haven't moved him around and he probably was a guy that should have been moved around in terms of favorable matchups starting a year or two ago, if it's just money, then they're probably going to get it done.
Here's Schrager's reaction. I've been laughed at on TV for this take, but you don't go and acquire Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Rodgers, DK Metcalf, and Darius Slay if you don't have serious Super Bowl aspirations. These are all-in moves. Whether they are or not, Pitt thinks they're close. Exactly. They're not close, but they're acting like
I would
close.
Love to make fun of Schrager, but I think his analysis is pretty much correct there.
412-928-9370. Sprinkle some of your calls in next. We're live at Pompeiani's Golf Classic on a day in which the Steelers make one of their biggest trades in team history. So we want your thoughts on jettisoning Mika Fitzpatrick, bringing in Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith, T.J. Watt now maybe being on the move because of this deal. 412-928-9370.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.